Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And so what we see here is this is Thanksgiving coming up, and so often we get caught up in running around and preparing food and thinking of family that's coming in. And a lot of them are our flesh and blood family. And it's great to be thankful for those things because God has given us those people. Now, for me, my mom and my dad, they're not saved. And I still love them very much. I still try to honor them. But see, God, in this verse, if you look at it, see, he's brought us into a spiritual family. He's brought us into a group, and it's right here, and it's all among us. It is his church. We are one family. And so if we really look at this and dissect it, let's look at the first part. It says, who is our enemy? See, David was talking about real enemies attacking Israel, but we have a real spiritual enemy that attacks us all the time. And so Revelation 12:10 says, he is the accuser of the brethren, who accuses us before our God day and night. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says, he is the God of this age who has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. And that's who we were until we put our faith in Jesus Christ. See, it was God that redeemed us from the hand of the enemy by removing the blinders from our eyes and allowing us to believe. But the hope here is this. It's not just that we're saved, which is important, and we should be thankful for that. But we have hope that our unsaved loved ones can be saved, because if he can save somebody like me, he can save anybody. He can save my mom and dad. I can keep praying into it and keep doing that, but there is hope because I know that he can, because I've seen it in my life. And so as it says here, it says he's gathered us out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Well, the Bible says if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so everything accused against us, God just looked, the Father just looks at Jesus and he says, you know what? I don't see it. As far as the east is from the west, so far we have removed those transgressions from us. And so if you go over to Galatians 3:28, it says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:11 says, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. And so in saving us, he has put us, look around us, we have different age groups, we have different skin colors, we have different backgrounds. God has put us together. God has put people together that we ordinarily probably would never even be talking to or gather around. But God did this, and this is what God wanted when he created us. He created us all as different people, but the thing is, the enemy had blinded that, and that's why there's all this racism. But the things that are divisive are the very things that God wanted to use to bring us together, the different foods, the different cultures. We're interesting to one another. And so now we're in this family, and so as you look around, the very person sitting next to you that you might not know, if you ever had a problem or a situation, and let's say you had gone to pastor and you needed help, you never know if that person sitting next to you might be the very person that would give you the help that you need. See, we are in a loving family, and so this is what redemption has done for us. Not only are we free, not only are we not going to go to hell, but now we are in a family of love, a family of grace. We are positionally God's children. Try to be more thankful for those around you that are at church. Get to know one another. Get to see one another. Get to talk to one another, because you never know what kinds of friendships might just build off of that. You never know if, hey, let's face it, there's a saying, and it's not biblical, but it is a saying. It says the truth hurts. And there are people in your life that will just flatter you, and they will never tell you the truth about something that you need to know that could be hurting you. But the people that are here around you are the ones that are going to use the Word of God to speak truth into your life, even if it hurts at the moment, because they care, because God cares. And that's what's important. So if we move on to verses 4 through 9, it says, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And so Leviticus 25:23 says this, and this is God speaking. He says, the land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. Hebrews 11:10, speaking of Abraham, says, for he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so not only now have we seen that we have a family that God has brought into, not only can the enemy not touch us because Jesus is advocating for us, but now we see that we have a hope of heaven. Yes, in this world there is strife, there are problems. You just watch the news. You hear about shootings and all kinds of negative things. But we know that this is not the end. This is not the be-all, end-all. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for his righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Jesus put his righteousness upon us, but we don't see it fully yet. We realize we stumble, as my brother was talking about. We stumble, we sin, we make mistakes. See, it's not just hungering for righteousness all around us and for the world to become a perfect place, but it's for us to no longer worrying about sin, no longer struggling with our own temptations, no longer struggling with our own problems. But see, we have that hope, and what makes it amazing, God himself says, this is the world that I created. This is the world that I put you on, and I am a stranger in it. God doesn't even find this place to be anywhere that he really wants to be for extended periods of time. But see, he's working in our lives, and he's moving us from glory to glory. And so what's going on is, as we walk in this life, yes, it's imperfect, but we have a God that walks with us. And no matter how many times, again, as my brother was preaching earlier, no matter how many times we stumble, no matter how many times we fall, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. No matter what our problems here are on the earth, he will be here with us. He is moving along with us. He understands. When he saved us, he knew what mistakes we were going to make in the future. He knew the dumb things that we were going to do, and he dealt with me, and he hasn't cast me off. I have no right to be up here if we go by human standards. But I'm just praising God for the opportunities that he gives me. And so I just look at it and say, this God of ours, he loves us so much. And that is what is to be thankful for. Because when we have a problem, no matter how small, it doesn't matter how small, he says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He cares about every facet of your life. It might seem so simple. I heard it the other day. You know, you might get something as simple as a paper cut. Pray over it. God wants to hear your voice. He loves you. Come on in. He wants a relationship. So no matter how small or tiny or whatever the thing might be, and if you're rejoicing, all the more. Come into his presence. Give him thanksgiving for these things. And so it's just amazing to me just how awesome and how loving and how patient he can be with us. And so I'm going to wrap it up over here, and I can't go through the whole psalm. I really wish I could. There is so much over here. But verses 10 through 16 says, those who sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, bound in affliction irons, because they rebelled against the words of God, despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. And so again, we go back to this idea of repentance and freedom. See, John 3:19, Jesus said it straight out. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And finally, in John 8:36, it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus has freed us from sin and death. We are no longer slaves to sin and death. I don't remember exactly where it is, but it's in one of the books of Corinthians, but it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. See, we don't have to sin. We do, but we don't have to. And when we do, we are not sentenced to death. We are free. We do not have to serve it. And that is the amazing thing. The closer we draw to the Lord, the more we spend time praying, the more we spend time in fellowship with people of a positive nature, which again brings us back to why we need this family, because if you hang out with people that are sinners, you're going to sin. But if you hang out with those that are encouraging you to follow the Lord, then you are going to follow the Lord more. If we spend more time reading God's Word, it gets into our hearts and it changes us. And so this is the freedom that God has given us. But notice it says we were bound in affliction and darkness. But see, we have purpose now. God has put His love upon us. We have a purpose in this life to serve the living God. And so we get to be a part of His kingdom. He chooses to use us, not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. I heard a story once about a guy talking about how he was working in a shed and his grandson came in. So he said, here, why don't you hold this tool? And he just had his grandson handing him tools, and every once in a while he would let him make a little cut. And then the grandfather puts everything together, and then the little boy runs in with whatever it was that was created, and he says, look what I made. Well, he didn't make anything. The grandfather made it, and that's us. We're not making anything. It's just God choosing to use us. It is a privilege. It is an honor. And that's what we get to do. Ordy was talking last week about, you know, about the love that had been seen, that sisters had come around her. Those sisters were being moved by the Lord. They were being used to help her. And she was seeing the love of the family that God has brought us into. And it is so amazing. And there's so much more in this. And so I'm just encouraging you all, please, if you have the chance, just go through Psalm 107. This Thanksgiving. It is so awesome. God is so loving, so kind, so amazing. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, Lord God, and I can never put it into words. Lord God, I just pray today that, Lord, something might stick from you, Lord God, into all of our hearts, that it would make us so much more thankful for you and who you are and what it is that you have done for us this Thanksgiving season. In Jesus' name, amen.